are listening to Talking Hoosier Baseball,
a podcast
by fans from the iubase.com website.
For anyone wanting more information on the Indiana University baseball program.
Welcome. We are recording this on Thursday, October 8th, 2020. I am Carl James, joined by stats guru Cassidy Palmer, the creator of iubase.com, Josh Bennett, and our special guest, junior outfielder, infielder, and catcher, Drew Ashley. In the news, Aaron Sluggers is on the American League Divisional Series roster for the Tampa Bay Rays. He so far has not pitched in the first three games, but we're keeping an eye out as game four is in progress while we are recording. I'll now hand it over to Cass, who will provide us with some statistical insight on our guest, Drew Ashley.
Yeah, so I picked out a few interesting stats for Drew. On his career, he's batting .289, including .303 his freshman year, which is really impressive for a freshman. He has a .401 on base percentage, which means he's getting on base 40% of the time, pretty darn close to half the time. That's huge and is big part of the reason he's been leadoff a lot. Drew has started in 90% of the games he's played, which I also found interesting. And 26% of his hits have gone for extra bases of some variety. I also saw that in 2019, free passes, so walks or HBPs, made up 16% of all of his plate appearances, which is a pretty high number for that. And it was pretty evenly balanced between the walks and the HBPs. He got hit quite a bit in 2019, but that also plays into that .401 on base percentage. So, Drew, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, Drew, I'll get started with the questions here. You won your first Travel Ball World Series when you were 13 and then won another one the very next year. Can you tell us a little bit about some of your favorite moments or memories of that time?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing about that time was just getting to go to the ballpark every single day. That's one thing I really do miss about like Little League Baseball and travel baseball and stuff is like you play in two – I played in two rec leagues whenever I was younger. And then I also played for a travel team, of course. And just like you said, winning the World Series that year, but like working up that whole way to the World Series that year, we'd played every single day. Like it would be like one rec game, then the next day you had another rec game, then travel will practice the Wednesday and a rec game Wednesday night. And then you'd be off to tournaments Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, playing multiple games a day. And I loved how much baseball I got to play. So I would say that one of the best memories is just like, it's kind of a monotonous thing, but just getting to play so many baseball games at that young age. And then of course, whenever you do finally, because it was the same travel team, the travel team we won on was the same one that we'd been together for a long time. And my dad actually coached the team, and finally getting that first like World Series win, it was, it's an experience you'll never forget.
Very cool. So how do those memories and accomplishments compare to winning a Big Ten title?
That's a tough question. I mean, they're completely different. It's like whenever you're a little kid going to those tournaments, every weekend's a new season. It's like each weekend you're playing a whole new set of teams. You're starting off completely fresh. And I would say winning the Big Ten title is just the culmination of a season all the way together. So while those memories were special, they're like they're individual entities in themselves each weekend. Whereas the Big Ten title, it's like you're working on that with your guys the August before. You got a whole, like basically a whole calendar year we were building for that. And even I would say that the Big Ten title run was a culmination of 2 years, even of, for me, just that's how long I've been a part of it. But just like the 2 years, they're just grinding out every single day, getting into a spot with everybody on the team. That's like everybody's playing together, because to have a team that wins at that caliber, I feel like it's more than just the individual pieces on the team and this guy being good at that, this guy being good at that. It's how everybody interacts together and whenever you're going to make a title run in that sense, and just be as consistent as that team was for the whole year.
Well, your junior season of high school, you threw a no-hitter and a one-hitter in the sectionals, the latter being in front of Coach Lemonis. Were you recruited to be a position player, a pitcher, possibly two-way guy?
Yeah, so Coach Lemonis and his staff only wanted me to be a position player. There was a few other schools that I talked to that did want me to pitch as well and potentially go two-way. There was no schools that just wanted me to pitch. It was always most of the places I talked to were two ways. And then IU was just a position player was what they were interested in.
Do you miss being on the mound?
Of course. I'm always in Coach Parker's ear telling him to give me an inning. I'm convinced if he gives me one inning, I'm going to keep pitching. That's what I keep telling him. But so far I haven't had any luck.
Well, Drew, as Hoosier fans are well aware, you've been called on to play pretty much anywhere on the field for any given game. What's your favorite place to be on the diamond defensively?
Well, I think each position has a very unique aspect to it as far as what's good about a position, what's a little bit tougher about a position. But picking a specific defensive position is a tough one for me. My favorite part about defense is being able to play all over the place and being able to just have each position has a new perspective on the game. Because in the outfield, you're watching different things, but then you're in the background on plays, backing up stuff. You're catching overthrows and stuff. Catching, you're in the action every single play, which I love about catching. That's super nice. Just being constantly like thinking through the game, thinking through each pitch. I love the fact that infield, like you're on top of the action, you got a front seat, like to see exactly how the hitter's reacting to different pitches and whatnot. But if I had to pick a single favorite position, I'm going to pick hitting. Not necessarily like a defensive position, but that's my favorite thing for sure.
And which position do you think you're strongest at, maybe besides hitting?
I think that it just depends on where I'm needed. I have a hard time saying like, there's one position I necessarily even feel more comfortable at or feel stronger at. It's just, I think my strength comes in the fact that I am diverse in my ability to play different positions. And the strongest aspect of my defense is that I can go play, I can go play right field one game. And then if we need to match up differently against a left-handed pitcher, I can come in and play second base the next game. So I would say that's the biggest strength of my defense, not necessarily a specific position.
And just how many different gloves do you own in order to play all those different positions?
Basically all of them. So it was a little bit interesting this year, actually. My catcher's glove that I had from last year I borrowed a catcher's glove from Brant Voth because I had my high school glove still from catching. And so whenever I started like getting back into catching again last year, right before the season started, I was using one of his because I liked how it felt and everything. It was good. And when he transferred, he took that with him. So it was a little bit edgy this early this spring because I was still using my glove from my catcher's glove from my junior year of high school because that's the last time I got a new catcher's glove. And so that it's getting a little bit old. That one's a little bit shaky. So I end up having a couple catcher's gloves that I've been trying out. So I've got a couple different catcher's gloves floating around right now, a couple infield gloves, a couple outfield gloves, no pitching glove. I'm still working on that one. I need a pitching glove, but other than that, pretty much all of them.
So Drew, as you've mentioned a little bit ago, you obviously want to talk about hitting. That's probably your favorite thing to do. So besides Coach Mercer allowing you to wear eye black, what's your favorite thing about his offensive approach?
I love how free we are within the offense. Yes, it's a rigid plan and we're going to work as a unit, a team to attack a pitcher in a certain way. We talk about that in our meetings going into the game. But then within that plan, you have so much freedom to be a aggressive player on the base pass, be looking to always gain the extra base, aggressive to pitches that you like to hit in whatever count you like to hit in. And I really like – I'm sure you guys can all see that we have a lot of different styles of hitters in our offense. Like everybody has their own strength, and he really recognizes that within the offensive plan and gives – hitters a big freedom to work to their strength and do what they're good at, what they like doing.
You've had many big moments at the plate during your Hoosier career so far, and we'll get into some of those later. You never seem to get too high or too low. How important is consistency when things are going well or not to you?
Well, consistency is the biggest thing with baseball, I think. It's one of the longest sports seasons you have. You play the ton of games as long as you're winning, of course. So consistency throughout a baseball season, it's the biggest piece of baseball for me, because you can have a bad weekend, you can have a bad couple games, and the overhaul of the longer season is going to even itself out. So I would say consistency is something that comes from reps. And like I said earlier, like playing so much baseball and playing all those games is when I was younger, that's a big part of it. But just hitting every day, going to the field every day, showing up to work every single day, that consistency is what, like, because everybody's going to have a bad day. Everybody's going to have a bad day hitting. Everybody's going to make some bad plays defensively. It happens. But showing up to the field to work every single day and constantly getting better is what's going to lead to that consistency. It's just having that same, like, consistent approach every day leads to consistent results, I think.
Now, to be good at so many positions and be such a solid hitter as well, that has to take a ton of hard work. We heard that you had an indoor batting cage growing up that you used pretty much every day. And we know for a fact that you were seen in a hotel parking lot hitting heavy balls during a road series. What do you attribute your drive and your work ethic to?
Well, I think it all comes down to winning. There's no reason to do something if you're not going to win doing it. And also, I think that for my work ethic and drive, it's in my opinion, there's no point in doing anything in life if you're not going to do the best you can at that thing. So for me, being a student is super important. So I do the best I can to be the best student I can be. And then whenever it comes to baseball, like, you go to the field and there's no point in being there and not being 100% focused on the task at hand. Coach Mercer always says to be where your feet are. Like, he always says that to us, whether it be in the middle of a baseball game, while you're doing something outside of the base, like while you're lifting, be it lifting, while you're playing defense, be it defense, while you're hitting, be hitting. And so I kind of took that to heart, especially like whenever he came in my sophomore year and I heard it, like what he meant by that for the first time is just be where your feet are. So I would say that the drive comes from, like, whenever I'm working on baseball, like, I'm there 100%. Like, that's what I'm focused on. And I think that's part of just working to be the best I can be. And whatever that ceiling is what that ceiling is. I just have to find a way to achieve my personal ceiling.
And to go along with that work ethic, what coaches have influenced you the most growing up?
Well, like I said earlier, I played for my dad for a long time. So, of course, I'm going to say him. He's a great baseball knowledge, and I learned more from the game about him than most people know, I think. He taught me a ton, just all those games, always being in the dugout, always going over. It's one thing to have a coach at the field, and it's another thing to have a coach that can watch you play every single day, go home and work with you, do one-on-one lessons with you every single day, and you really learn a lot super quickly. Another coach I had when I was younger was my hitting coach, Joey Liss. He was super important with my hitting philosophy, who I am as a hitter, what pitches I'm like looking to attack. And then a lot with him was my mindset as a hitter and what I'm thinking at the plate, how I'm staying consistent at the plate, and how to handle those times when you may not feel your best. I would say that those would be two huge impacts for me. And then Coach Peters for the Ironman was a very big impact for me. Just, he's the one that kind of put me in connection with IU and opened that door with me to start talking with Lemonis. And so I'm super thankful for him, just as far as that recruiting avenue goes, and as far as putting me in contact with IU and in essence, allowing me to be here.
So Drew, it seems like you have a knack for getting the big hit or delivering that knockout blow. Your grand slam against Canisius, your very first collegiate home run was a walk-off against Illinois. The walk-off hit against your hometown team, Evansville. And the biggest one in my mind was probably this past season, the 3-run bomb in the 8th to put away Eastern Carolina that just capped off an incredible at bat. Which one of those moments means the most to you?
Well, they all mean a ton. The one against Illinois, I'll remember forever. Of course, that's you don't forget your first college home run, and to be in that atmosphere when it happened, that's definitely something that I'll look back on for the rest of my life. Evansville was super, super sweet just because, you know, it's against a bunch of guys that I know and then grew up playing against. So that's kind of nice. There's a bunch of guys on that team that I've played with, played against for a long time. So that was an exciting one. And then, like you said, the East Carolina one was just to go into that atmosphere, because I feel like that was a big one for me, because I was finally in a position where I was like leading a team, not necessarily as much a part of the team or playing my role on the team. We were a younger team, and that was kind of not necessarily a turning point. I think but it could have been an early turning point in that season, just because we were finally on a big time stage against a big time team. And we had been against LSU. We played South Al. That was good competition, but that was like a Friday night game where we're locked in, we're in a dogfight, and finally to find a way to hop over that edge, because against LSU, the games are a little bit lopsided. We lost a close one Friday night that kind of got away from us a little bit. And then on Saturday evening of the second game of that doubleheader, we kind of got away from them a little bit. But to finally be in that really close game and grit your teeth and be able to put it ahead like that, that was a big swing. I was pretty happy about that one too.
Well, you started your IU career as a catcher warming up relievers in late innings and catching walk-off homers. Then before we knew it, you were making the all Big Ten freshman team. Now you are a prominent leader, as you mentioned, of the program. How important is the leadership role for you?
Well, it's huge, because being a leader of a program, it puts you in a position to have a responsibility and have an impact on the program after I'm moved on and I'm done playing at IU. I feel like being in a leadership position, you're in essence responsible for so much more than yourself. It's one thing to come in as a freshman or come in as a sophomore or whatever, or even play a good career at IU, but it's a whole different meaning to take, like, to literally take the name across your chest and to feel something behind that, that compulsion to make the program better and to do things. Like, it makes you do so many more little things correctly when you feel like you're setting that example for the younger guys. And when you have the tie to the program that I feel like I have, just to, because I care about the program more than just myself being a part of the program. Like, I love IU as a school. I grew up coming to IU football games, IU basketball games, baseball games, just being a huge fan of the university. Both my parents went here. And so to be in a leadership position for this team, you take so much to heart from it.
And continuing on with the leadership theme, when you came into IU as a freshman, who did you learn from as far as leadership is concerned?
I really gravitated towards Scotty Bradley. That's who I was in the cage with every single day doing flips with. He and Coach Lemonis did a strategy where you had a couple older guys and they took one of the younger guys and you had like a group of three or whatever. And those were the people that whenever you had questions, that's who you talked to. And I was with Scotty and Colby Stratton. And so those were two great. I feel super, super lucky to have been that he assigned me to those guys, because I learned so much from them, just about from Colby being around IU for so long, just about what the program had gone to, what he had gone through. Cause Lemonis was his second coaching staff. He'd gone through a coaching transition. So I feel like, not knowing at the time that was going to be a big impact for me, but like now, like having had his perspective on going through that coaching transition was like super important for my development and my ability to see that transition with Lemonis to Mercer. And then being around Scotty, just with his dad being a college coach at Princeton and playing so long in the big leagues and stuff, he knew the swing really well. And just some of the stuff he said from an offensive standpoint really clicked with me, and him, having him every day in there with in the cages with me and doing flips before games, just our routine would just to get in there early before everybody else for pregame flips and go through in the cage and get both of our swings just feeling right. It just set up the whole day for success, I felt like. And so those were two guys I really, really looked up to for leadership, just in part because Lemonis assigned them to me. So I guess that was a happy coincidence, but it turned out to be great, great mentors and great friendships, really.
And now that you're kind of on the other end of that now, you've been around the program for a few years, how would you describe your own leadership style?
Well, I think you're going to have to ask the freshman how I'm doing on that one. So, but I feel like I try to lead a lot more by example than I'll never be one of the people that's super, super vocal and is running around talking to everybody, running my mouth a lot. So I try to do, like I said, just do everything correctly, do the little things right, because really that's what a great program is. I feel like a great program doesn't have to have somebody that's going around and chewing people out and stuff, or one of your senior captains that's like talking down to people and stuff. I feel like a great program, everybody sees the example of the older guys. They see the older guys not cutting corners. They see the older guys going into the cages and picking up every single baseball, not leaving just a couple back in the corner because they're too far away to pick up. And so that example is really what I try to lead by, because whenever you are around it that often, like whenever you're a freshman, you come in and you see older guys doing it correctly, it's built in. It's automatic. There's no policing it. There's no questions about it. Whereas if you have seniors that are cutting corners, you're not doing things quite right, or juniors that are doing things a little bit halfway here and there, then it becomes acceptable for the freshmen. And that's whenever I feel like you have to have people that are going in and talking a lot. And it's like, well, why do I have to do it? You don't have to do it. And I think that develops bad culture. So I would say my style is more by example than vocal.
All right. So Drew, in a recent interview we did talking about academics, your name was mentioned regarding the logistics of scheduling classes for your major. So what are you studying and how are you hoping to apply that in the future?
So I'm a biology major and a chemistry minor. I actually finished my major this past semester in the spring. So I'm just working on my chem minor right now. This is actually currently the easiest semester of school I've had. I've gotten most of my hard classes out of the way. And so it's kind of coasting a little bit right now, which is pretty nice. I'm not going to lie to you. It's really nice. get to be at the field for a long time, really work on some baseball stuff. And that's super helpful, but hopefully I'll be going to dental school. If baseball doesn't continue on. But that's the plan in the future, is at dental school.
Well, you've shined on the field, at the plate, and in the classroom since you've been on campus. How difficult has such a heavy school load and being a Division I baseball player been to manage?
It's been tough. There's a lot of days where the last thing you want to do is wake up at 6 a.m. to go to weights, because you were up till midnight or 1 or 2 studying the night before. Definitely some of those road weekends in the spring have gotten long because, you know, you're getting back at 2 or 3 in the morning, Monday morning, technically Sunday night. And then I'm getting up to go to an 8 a.m. class the next day and have a full day of classes Monday. And then with the spring semester and our games being how they are and our off days working out, I always had labs on Monday night, like chemistry, biology labs Monday night. So usually that's a 3 or 4 hour block from 6 or 7 to 9 or 10 Monday night. So it definitely has been quite a load, but I would say it's really taught me discipline. Whereas I would say a lot of college students get away with going from, like, you have your 8 a.m. class or whatever, and then you have an hour break and you just kind of sit there and mess around on your phone and stuff for that hour break. And then you do your 10 o'clock class and so on. It's like, I get out of class and start working on whatever I can right away. And it's really taught me to discipline myself and to work smarter. Obviously sometimes classes get in the way and take time away from baseball. I've had some scheduling conflicts where I have a Monday night class or a Wednesday night class and I have to leave early from practice or work around that time. And obviously coaching staff's been super accommodating. Both staffs I've played for have been great with classes and that sort of stuff, and really understanding that, I mean, student athlete, student still comes first. And so you have to take care of your business in the classroom before you can even play baseball. But just, I'd say it's taught me more than it's been hard. It's been difficult, but it's really taught me to be self-disciplined and to manage my time well.
So if you were to impart some advice to an incoming freshman on balancing the athletics and the academics, what would that advice be?
Work efficiently. I fell into the trap a little bit as a freshman. Like, you want to be at the field all the time and you want to be there. You want to be the first one there, last one to leave. And you can do that. There's a time and a place for that. And I think that helped me a ton, but work efficiently. You don't need to go out and just, even with school, you don't need to go out and kill yourself with everything. Find out what you need to do, have a plan, and work really smart. I think Mercer really emphasizes working smart. Like, if there's certain things that you need to get better at, then target those things. You don't have to necessarily go through and do all this hard work. Just target the areas you need to work on and work efficiently. So I would say my best advice would be to find out exactly who you are as a person, as a player, find out what strategy works best for you and establish that consistent pattern early. Get in a routine, find your routine, and go from there.
So as we go into the 2021 season, what goals do you have for yourself and for the team?
Well, I'm a big believer that any individual goal I have is going to be accomplished in the fact that the team gets where it is. All of my individual goals are kind of tailored to the point where if the team's successful, then my individual goals are fulfilled. For our team, obviously you want to win another Big Ten championship. That's why you start any season. And I really, really want to go to Omaha at some point. Whenever I was making my college decision, the biggest part of my whole college decision was going and playing for a team that I felt like could get to Omaha in my 4 years. And that's what I want. That's my goal this year. And we're bought in all the way to get there somehow, some way.
Drew, how's the fall progressing for you so far?
It's been a little bit weird with COVID and stuff. We had a later start than usual. We had a slight break with how IE policy with cases and stuff worked for a little bit. And today was actually our first scrimmage, which great to finally get back out there and be competing and stuff. We've had about 2 weekends now where we've had some coach pitch scrimmages and that sort of thing. But to finally get out there today and really have the first live scrimmage with live arms and really getting to play baseball again, how it's meant to be played without an L screen out there. And I mean, Merce carved this a little bit because he's throwing pretty hard from about 40 feet. It's a little bit different when there's an L screen out in the middle of the field. And to finally get back out there today was super fun and just getting people moving around and stuff. So fall ball's been strange, but it's been going good. We got a lot of really good talent, and just getting to see people work every day has been exciting.
Well, that will do it for this edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Shout out to Chris Vini, who helped out with producing some of these questions. Read up on Indiana Baseball at iubase.com. Follow us on Twitter at @CUAtTheBart and at iubase17. On Instagram, we're iubase. And you can subscribe to the Talking Hoosier Baseball channel on YouTube, featuring these video podcasts, game clips, game day media availabilities, and more. For Josh Bennett, Cassidy Palmer, and Drew Ashley, I'm Carl James. See you at the BART.